Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to Sporting Journal Radio. My name is Brett Amundson. For the next hour, we're going to talk hunting and fishing around Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. We've got Josh Miller from Sport Dog, also Riverstone Kennels, BritishLabradors.com. He lives in western Wisconsin, and he's going to talk to us about some dog training tips in the field or what you can do when you're into the hunting season and your dog is not quite acting right. He'll talk to us about that, plus what's new from Sport Dog as he checks in from Tennessee, from Sport Dog headquarters, as a matter of fact. Joe Henry will also get us updated on Lake of the Woods, where the walleyes are staging right now. Fishing is heating up. We'll also talk bird hunting around the Lake of the Woods area and the Northwest Angle and what it takes to get up to the Northwest Angle. Coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. Now, this week's show is brought to you by our good friends at Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on the east side of Devil's Lake. Fishing, snow bear perch fishing in the wintertime. Also, of course, fall hunting. They got lodges you can rent. Or they got cabins at their lodge that you can rent at Haybale Heights. Tazen Lake Lodge in northwest Saskatchewan, offering trophy pike, trophy lake trout, delicious meals, and more. Go to TazenLake.com for all the details. Also brought to you by Clearwater County Outfitters, offering guided deer hunting, guided ice fishing, guided bear hunting, and more up by Clearbrook, northwestern Minnesota. Go to ClearwaterCountyOutfitters.com. And also by Thief River Falls, hunting up in northwestern Minnesota, the Thief Lake area, Agassiz, and more. Visit TRF.com is the website to find out more about them. Now here's what's new this week in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Nominated for 7 Emmy Awards. We find out October 5th, next weekend, if we picked up some of those trophies at the Upper Midwest Emmy Awards Banquet happening at Mystic Lake Casino next Saturday night. Pretty excited about that. PrairieSportsman.org to watch any of our episodes that we're nominated for or any of the other episodes that are there as well. In Minnesota, hunters who harvest a deer, elk, or moose out of state cannot bring the entire animal back to Minnesota. Now, this restriction has been in place since 2016 under rules adopted by the DNR. In 2019, the carcass import ban was enacted in state statute. The restriction is part of the DNR's comprehensive strategy to prevent the spread of chronic wasting disease to Minnesota deer, elk, and moose. Not moving animals, whether alive or dead, eliminates one means by which the disease can spread. Hunters cannot bring whole deer, elk, moose, and caribou carcasses into Minnesota. The state's prohibition applies to all other U.S. states, Canadian provinces, and other areas, regardless of whether that area has a confirmed infection of CWD. Now, hunters wanting to bring back their harvest to Minnesota, of course, you can bring back the meat. You should just plan to dress, process, or mount the animals before returning. You're allowed to bring home quarters or other portions of meat with no part of the spinal column or head attached. Meat that is boned out or that is cut and wrapped, either commercially or privately. You can bring back hides and teeth. You can bring back antlers or clean skull plates with antlers attached. No brain tissue can be a part of that or finished taxidermy mounts. Non-residents transporting whole or partial carcasses on a direct route through Minnesota are exempt from that restriction because they're not stopping here and leaving the meat here or carcasses or whatever. Also, Minnesotans interested in helping the DNR determine how Game and Fish Fund dollars are spent have now through Friday, October 11th to apply to serve on a review committee. Minnesota's Game and Fish Fund is the fiscal foundation for many of the state's core natural resource management functions. $110 million goes into this fund every year. Now, the DNR needs at least 12 people to serve on this oversight committee, on the fisheries oversight and wildlife oversight committees, a minimum of 6 for each. About half of the current members' terms expire Saturday, December 14th. Appointees will be responsible for reviewing the agency's annual Game and Fish Fund report in detail. Now, people who want to serve should have a strong interest in natural resource management, how it's funded, financial review, and also working together. The goal is for the committee to have members from across the state with diverse perspectives and backgrounds. DNR Commissioner Sarah Stroman will appoint committee members for 2-year terms, and applications are available on the DNR website, along with more information about this fund, the expenditure reports, and also the oversight committee reports. In North Dakota, the two-day youth pheasant season is coming up October 5 and 6. Legally licensed residents and non-residents ages 15 and younger may hunt roosters statewide. Resident youth hunters, regardless of age, must possess a fishing, hunting, and fur bearer certificate and a general game and habitat license. Non-resident youth hunters from states that provide a reciprocal licensing agreement for North Dakota residents qualify for North Dakota resident licenses. Otherwise, non-resident youth hunters must purchase a non-resident small game license. Shooting hours are 1/2 hour before sunrise to sunset. If you're 12 and under, you need to have passed a certified hunter education course. Of course, the daily bag limit and all other regs for the regular season apply. An adult that must be 18 years of age at least must be with that youth on the youth pheasant season, October 5 and 6 in North Dakota. In Wisconsin, state wildlife officials have confirmed that tissue samples collected from 3 deer in Crawford County and 2 deer from Richland County have tested positive for the virus that causes EHD, or epizootic hemorrhagic disease. Department of Natural Resources in Wisconsin confirmed the occurrence of the disease after citizens in Crawford County reported recent observations of small groups of dead deer. In addition to the 3 confirmed cases, wildlife staff suspect approximately 100 animals have died from EHD in Crawford County as of September 20, based on clinical signs of proximity to those other deer that have tested positive. Staff members are following up on additional unconfirmed reports of dead deer in Crawford County. EHD also contributed to the death of a fawn being monitored as part of the Southwest Wisconsin Deer and Predator Research Project in Iowa County. No additional suspect cases have been reported from Iowa County. DNR staff members are also investigating reports of groups of dead deer from surrounding counties, and results from deer sampled in Sauk County are expected within the next week. All right, coming up, we've got Josh Miller from Riverstone Kennels. He's also got BritishLabradors.com. He lives in western Wisconsin, trains dogs. He hunts, avid waterfowl hunter, currently down at Sport Dog Headquarters, finding out what's going on down there. They're also doing some videos that you'll be seeing coming up on the interwebs here very, very soon. We'll have him on to talk about what he's doing down there at Sport Dog. Also have some tips on training the dog and keeping your dog in shape during the hunting season. And we've also got Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department coming up with the North Dakota Outdoors Report. And Joe Henry will check in from Lake of the Woods when we come back on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, anglers! Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience in a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com.
Northwest Minnesota's premier whitetail and bear guide and outfitter is Clearwater County Outfitters, offering 100% free range whitetail experiences. Archery, rifle, and muzzleloader hunts from heated elevated box blinds, ladder stands, and ground blinds are available. Clearwater County Outfitters also offers fall black bear hunts over bait. To learn more or to book a hunt, visit ClearwaterCountyOutfitters.com. That's ClearwaterCountyOutfitters.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our 5-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Now it's time to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, it's the time of year everybody's excited, and to be able to go to an area like Lake of the Woods where you can pretty much do it all, I'm surprised there's not traffic jams going north in Minnesota right now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, being so far north, obviously that eliminates some of the traffic jams just because, you know, we're, a few hours up. But, well, I'll tell you what, you know, the way I've always looked at it, and I've been going to Lake of the Woods for more than 30 years, you know, when I got everything all packed up, to have an absolute incredible world-class experience with the kind of beauty and the resort community with the good places to eat and the fun bars overlooking the water and stuff, I mean, for that, driving an extra couple hours was always worth it to me. And hence, here I sit as director of tourism for Lake of the Woods, right? No coincidence. But right. But that's really true, and that's the way I looked at things. And, you know, to have a chance of catching a monster walleye, a monster pike, seeing the migration with different kind of diver ducks, having thousands and thousands of public land to hunt for grouse, that's special to me. And, you know, driving just a little bit further, gosh, it was always worth it.
So we've been talking a lot about the shiner run on the Rainy River, and everybody, you know, when you talk about Lake of the Woods, that's what you talk about right now is the shiners are running. Let's go hit the river, fish right outside the river, whatever. What about, I want to ask you about the other end of the lake. Do some shiners go north, or when you talk about like the northwest angle, what do the guys do up there?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we do focus on the river right now just because it's kind of that traditional run, and there's a lot of walleyes and shiners in the river now, like you said. And also, too, it also makes it really appropriate for somebody who has a 14 or 16-foot boat to trailer up and go fish in the river because it's small water. Now, we also have, before we get to the angle, we got a huge school of walleye staged out in front of the Lighthouse Gap, which is where the Rainy River enters Lake of the Woods. So in about that 27 to 30 feet of water, there's a huge school of walleye out there with some big fish mixed in. They're whacking them out there. There's fish all along that south shore out in front of Zippel Bay. I mean, there were some old timers up at Zippel Bay recently, and they came up for the first time. And they're like, "Yeah, you know, we fished walleyes our whole life, but we never caught them like sunfish before." You know, well, when you get on the right school, it can be that good, especially when you're anchored up and jigging. You know, and then of course getting over to like Long Point and Rocky Point in that area, and Archie's Reef, and some of those. You know, those are all holding fish. Okay, so now you talk. So the lake is hot in Big Traverse Bay, but then you talk about the angle. You know, that's where the Canadian Shield really begins. You know, for people that don't know, that northwest angle is that little tip of Minnesota that sticks way up into Canada. It's the northernmost point of the contiguous United States, and it's where the 14,552 islands of Lake of the Woods begin.
Is that all?
It's interesting. It's cool, yeah. And, you know, with Lake of the Woods being large and also with all the islands, there's over 65,000 miles of shoreline on Lake of the Woods. Hmm. So it's limitless as far as fishing goes. Well, the angle is so cool this time of year because, you know, just like we have the shiner run up the Rainy River, the shiners up there also will run, but, you know, they run and they go into bays. So right now they're starting to see on your electronics, big schools of shiners balling up at the mouth of bays. There's also some shiners showing up in some of the neck down current areas and things. So, It is a neat time of the year up there as well. There is a pattern up there and a tradition. And those walleyes, I mean, they're so prevalent up there with all the structure. You know, we're getting them near Garden Island. We're getting them by Little Oak. We're getting them, like I said, in those neck down areas where there's a little bit of current going between those islands. And it's just so fun because there's so many spots to fish. You know, you can get off on your own. And when our guides up there, Brett, when they guide people up at the northwest angle, sometimes they'll fish the Minnesota side, but more often they'll take people into Ontario. And an Ontario non-resident license isn't very expensive, and they take you on an adventure amongst the 14,552 islands. They do a shore lunch with you up on one of those rocks during the day, and you know, it's just so breathtaking. Yep, you'll see deer, you might see some bear, you'll see migration going on. You know, this time of year the big crappies are biting up on the islands. jumbo perch. You know, obviously, if you want to go hunt for big muskies, Lake of the Woods is a trophy muskie lake, and the fall is an incredible time to get them up there. So the angle is just a very different feel, very different place than the south end of the lake.
If you wanted to drive up there, Joe, you can drive around. You got to go through Canada. What can you use, like a can pass, or do you need a passport, or what do you need to go through there?
Yeah, so, you know, you do. You have to go through Canada in order to get up to the angle if you're going to drive there, and then you enter back into Minnesota. So really, you just need the proper credentials to get into Canada, which, you know, would be a enhanced Minnesota driver's license, let's say. It'd be a passport card or a passport. You got to have that, and, you know, and then you drive up. And, you know, I always tell people, man, when you're driving up through that little part of Manitoba, one of the little towns you go through is Sprague, Manitoba. It's kind of a cute little town just over the border, north of the border. And I always tell folks, man, stop at Carl and Kay's Fine Foods. They got a little grocery store there, and that's where you can pick up some of the things that you don't get in the States, like a old Coffee Crisp candy bar. And they got really good, kind of a cracked wheat bread they make. It's kind of famous out of the Winnipeg bakeries. And some Canadian jams that you can get up there. Just really some unique things. Chips. I mean, you get chips like, oh, crazy flavors, ketchup flavored chips, or
yeah.
You know, like sour cream and red pepper. I mean, things you don't see down in our end of the. So just kind of unique as far as the experience of going up there.
I like Canada and all, Joe, but I don't get the ketchup chips. I just like, but that's just because I don't like ketchup. And honestly, I like barbecue sauce, and I will dip my chips in barbecue sauce. So I guess I do get it. I always think it's funny when I'm up in Canada, I see ketchup flavored potato chips or whatever at the grocery store. And
well, here's what I think they should do. I think what they should do is probably give you a call and talk to Brett Amundson, and maybe they come up with like a nice grouse flavored chip or something like that.
I like it. All right, Joe. Well, of course, Lake of the Woods, I'm excited heading up there here in a couple of weeks to do some cast and blast. We'll talk about that more next in the next couple of weeks, probably here on the show. But people want to plan their own cast and blast trip or just go up and do some fishing at Lake of the Woods this fall or start thinking about winter trips, where should they go?
Absolutely. Hey, check out our website at Lake of the Woods Tourism. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right. Thank you, Joe, for you waterfowl hunters out there. Good weather coming up in the forecast. We've seen some new migrators coming into western Minnesota. I'm currently on my way to Saskatchewan right now to go up to Trails End Outfitters on Tobin Lake. We're going to chase some of those big walleyes around, Barry Prawl and Trevor Montgomery, getting ready for the Vanity Cup up there. And I'm going to hang out with them. And then Meek and I are going to go out and do some waterfowl hunting while we're up there as well. So next week's radio show will be coming from Tobin Lake and Trails End Outfitters. TrailsEndOutfitters.com, a guided deer and bear hunting up in Saskatchewan, and also pike and walleye fishing on legendary Tobin Lake. All right, and don't forget, if you don't podcast this show yet, you can do so now. You can download it straight to your phone, so when you go on long road trips like I am, I'm going to burn through so many podcasts in that 17-hour drive. I'll listen back to this show when it becomes available. And then I listen to a lot of other podcasts on there as well. It's very simple to do, especially if you got one of these fancy vehicles where you can connect via Bluetooth through your car stereo or through the auxiliary port or whatever, driving around. I listen to podcasts quite a bit, and it's very simple to do. You can go back. Lee Chose, for you waterfowl guys, Lee Chose is a big name in the waterfowl world and the waterfowl photography world. Interviewed him a couple of weeks back. You can listen to that interview right now at sportingjournalradio.com. And this is our seventh year. We're starting we've done this show for 7 years now, and you can go back and listen to all sorts of shows from the past 7 years via the podcast app or on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. And of course, we couldn't make it 7 years without our great sponsors. Thank you very much for being a sponsor of the show. Now, the commercial inventory sold out, but we do have some sponsorship opportunities for different features that we do here on the show. So if you want to be an advertiser with us, let us know at sportingjournalradio.com. Hey Bale Heights Campground and Resort, one of those sponsors we're very thankful for. They bring us the North Dakota Outdoors Report with Game and Fish biologist Doug Lear. It's brought to you by HayBaleHeights.com and Devil's Lake. Plan your trip at HayBaleHeights.com.
Waterfowl hunters need to take specific safety precautions. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Waterfowlers hunting from boats are encouraged to wear properly fitted life jackets while on the water. Hunting jackets with life jackets already built in are light and comfortable to wear. In addition, wearing a life jacket will not only keep the overboard hunter afloat, but they can also slow the loss of critical body heat caused by exposure to cold water. Capsizing and falling overboard from small boats are the most common types of fatal boating accidents for hunters. Waterfowl hunters are also reminded to do their part in preventing the spread of aquatic nuisance species into or within North Dakota. Waterfowl hunters must remove plants and plant fragments from decoys, strings, and anchors. Remove plants' seeds and plant fragments from waders and other equipment before leaving hunting areas. Remove all water from decoys, boats, motors, trailers, and other watercraft, and remove all aquatic plants from boats and trailers before leaving a marsh or lake. In addition, hunters are encouraged to brush their hunting dogs free of mud and seeds. Cattails and bulrushes may be transported as camouflage on boats. All other aquatic vegetation must be cleaned from boats prior to transportation into or within North Dakota. In addition, drain plugs on boats must remain pulled when a boat is in transit away from a water body. More ANS information, including regulations, is available at the Game and Fish website, gf.nd.gov. Hunters can find further information on waterfowl hunting regulations in the 2019 Hunting and Trapping Guide, available at licensed vendors and also on the Game and Fish website. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
That was the North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors Report with our old radio pal, Doug Lear, brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground Resort, offering guided snow bear trips this winter on Devil's Lake for perch and walleye and pike, of course, too. Go to haybaleheights.com. All right, Josh Miller from Sport Dog, Riverstone Kennels, and also BritishLabradors.com is next.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience and a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Northwest Minnesota's premier whitetail and bear guide and outfitter is Clearwater County Outfitters, offering 100% free-range whitetail experiences. Archery, rifle, and muzzleloader hunts from heated elevated box blinds, ladder stands, and ground blinds are available. Clearwater County Outfitters also offers fall black bear hunts over bait. To learn more or to book a hunt, visit ClearwaterCountyOutfitters.com. That's ClearwaterCountyOutfitters.com.
Hey, anglers! Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, our next guest is from Riverstone Kennels, BritishLabradors.com, and a product training specialist with Sport Dog. He's Josh Miller. Josh, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
You're traveling this weekend. Where are you off to next?
I'm actually in Knoxville, Tennessee right now at the Sport Dog headquarters, and we're going to be doing some YouTube videos to help people kind of understand the product better, some different situational stuff. And so it's always a good time when I get to come down and kind of see the behind the scenes part of what goes into making some of these products.
Well, I want to talk about some of the new products because I saw you at Game Fair and there were some new collar options, some pretty cool stuff out there. So I want to talk a little bit about that and what you can expect from Sport Dog. But first of all, couldn't they have done this in the summer? I mean, it's hunting season, man. Unless, are you going to sneak in some hunting trips while you're down there or what?
No. I mean, there really isn't much open down here. I'll tell you, I'm itching to get back home because we have been hammering the early season geese. It's been a great early goose season so far. Had a lot of fun with that. I've got down a couple dove hunts, went down to Kansas here early on in the season, which is always one of the big trips for me of the year because it kind of kicks off the season. But then we have duck season in Wisconsin opens this weekend. So it's an exciting time of year for those of us specifically, waterfowlers.
Well, I'm back here in Minnesota. Of course, we're a week into the season or so, and we had such hot, warm temperatures last weekend for the opener. I mean, the day before the opener last week, Friday, was like 90 degrees. It was ridiculous. But it's definitely cooled off, and there's been some weather. There's been some strong winds coming out of the north, so we've seen some new birds arrive, and I'm heading up to Saskatchewan, and part of me is like, I don't know why I'm leaving right now. I think the hunting's going to be really good in the next few days, and I don't know if you got out for opener last weekend, but I know I talked to a lot of people, and we did all right. We shot some birds, but I know I talked to a lot of people that were just complaining about just being a bad opener, and they didn't see any birds and this and that, and the DNR screwed up again is what I heard from so many people. And it's like, okay, there's water everywhere, and there was a thunderstorm on opening morning. So I think the thunderstorm kind of hampered the birds' movements a little bit, and then right now the ducks are all scattered. There's low spots and fields all over the place. So you're not seeing all the ducks aren't really together. They don't have to travel to maybe some of those historic ponds or sloughs or whatever. They can find water everywhere. So I think there's good numbers out there. Sometimes they're just not easy to see. Now, did you get out for opener in Minnesota last weekend?
No, I didn't. I actually goose hunted over in Wisconsin, and we had a great shoot. To your point, we have had some of those northern winds where last weekend was actually the first weekend I started to see some of those molt migrators coming from north of the border. So that's exciting for me to see those first push of birds come in. And I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to not only the dog stuff, but obviously the waterfowl piece is a huge passion of mine. So I get really into it. I mean, if you look on my phone and my weather app, you see from all over, from down in Arkansas all the way up to Regina and all those areas up north of the border, where I keep track of, okay, what's the wind doing up there, what's the weather doing up there, and kind of try to play it out. But I think you're right. I think we've had so much water this year that it just makes it where birds don't have to concentrate in certain areas. That always plays a factor, right? I mean, anytime you're dealing with habitat, I left my house on my birthday, which was December 14th. And when I left, we have a cornfield, or last year was corn next to the kennel. And there was about 2,000 mallards in that cornfield when I left on December 14th. There was no snow. It wasn't cold enough to lock everything up. They had no reason to leave. Yeah. Right. And so it was just the reality of, kind of Mother Nature, and what we kind of have to roll with as waterfowlers is just kind of rolling with those punches. What does Mother Nature throw at us, and then, combat for that?
I'm a proponent of longer seasons personally for us. I mean, I forget that you live over in Wisconsin, actually, don't you? So I know I always talk about Minnesota, and I would like to see us either have a longer split or this is a big discussion I had on Facebook the other day with people. And I think September 21st is way too early to be opening. And I think Wisconsin, you guys actually opened on the 28th. This weekend for the regular waterfowl season. So that's not so bad. Late September, early October, because you're right, you get into early December and we can't hunt ducks anymore. Our season is closed, and yet we generally have a lot of those mallards around. And I'd rather chase mallards in, a cut cornfield in December, and maybe it was some snowfall, than chasing around teal in 90 degree mosquito infested waters. But that's just my own personal preference. But with 60 days, I would like to see us go, get up to like 72 or something like that. And maybe that would give some of us guys that like to hunt late season a chance to go chase those mallards. And then the guys that like to hunt teal and wood ducks early in the season, they can do it too and have a little bit of the best of both worlds there, Josh.
Yeah, you know, well, first off, I would never turn down more days to go chase ducks. That's for sure. But, you know, like for us in Wisconsin, yes, we do start a week later than you guys in Minnesota, but we don't have a split, at least us in the northern zone. And so, you know, our season is done. I think this year it's November 24th, you know, somewhere in there. And I mean, it's almost like clockwork, you know, as the season ends and then that big push of northern birds come through and you just kind of, you have to sit there and drool as you, you watch them feed and watch them, you know, all over the place around us. And so, you know, and for me, it has a lot to do with, you know, when I look at, you know, I have a lot of prints and photos, you know, that my grandfather has passed down to me. And not one of them is a guy sitting in a camel, you know, t-shirt on a, you know, 80 degree day with a thermocell going, you know, it's just, that's not kind of that aspirational waterfowler, right? I mean, it's all, you know, blizzard, wind blowing, you know, ice on the edges, you know, dogs covered in snow. You know, that's kind of those aspirational waterfowl days, right? And just the weather that we've had in recent years, we just don't get a lot of that, especially like you said, with seasons closing. And so, you know, I think I would certainly love to see, you know, us be able to hunt later, like you said, whether that is, you know, a split in general for us or a longer split for you guys, whether that's more days, yeah, I'm not sure, but I would never turn down more days to go chase ducks. That's for sure.
Do you think some of the guys that determine season dates look into recruitment and factor in young hunters hunting in warmer type conditions to get them introduced to the sport? Do you think that comes into their mind when they come up with season dates and lengths?
You do. You have to try to make that as comfortable and enjoyable as possible, because let's face it, you know, this is a hurdle that we're dealing with, you know, along all spectrum of hunting, is getting that youth and the young people engaged and involved and getting them into the field. And this is a big thing, you know, that I work on. We have a number of high school kids that work for us here at the kennel. Not a single one of them had ever duck hunted or ever a bird hunted in general before working at the kennel. And so getting them involved is something that I take a lot of passion in.
Josh Miller, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking waterfowl hunting and dogs, of course. We need to get into the dogs. He's Riverstone Kennels, also BritishLabradors.com, and then a product training specialist at Sport Dog. Got some tips for handling your dog in the field. You've trained your dog all summer, all year long. It's game time. You're in the field, and all of a sudden your dog does something wrong. What do you do? We'll ask Josh about that coming up. We got Joe Henry with a Lake of the Woods report. Lucas Mertens checks in from Devil's Lake, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, and we also have Doug Lear with North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors Report. But first, Josh, it's more than you ever wanted to know about white-tailed deer. Since we talk so much about waterfowl and dogs, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. We're going to talk white-tailed deer, more than you ever wanted to know about, brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering heated pit hunts for late-season Canada goose hunts, since we can't shoot mallards late season. That's near the Lac Qui Parle Refuge. See pictures and videos on the Mid-Migration Outfitters Facebook page or Instagram, or go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. Josh, bucks regrow their antlers each year, of course, but one in every 10,000 does grow antlers as well. According to Wikipedia, and I believe everything I read on Wikipedia, this is associated mostly with what? Is it A, Freemasonry, B, Freemartinism, 3, Free Antlerism, or 4, freedom to identify as a male deer in today's society? What's your guess, Josh?
Well, I can't say that I expected a white-tailed question when I called
That's
it.
That's why
today.
I did it. All right, the answer when we come back on Sporting Journal Radio.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our 5-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Northwest Minnesota's premier whitetail and bear guide and outfitter is Clearwater County Outfitters, offering 100% free-range whitetail experiences. Archery, rifle, and muzzleloader hunts from heated elevated box blinds, ladder stands, and ground blinds are available. Clearwater County Outfitters also offers fall black bear hunts over bait. To learn more or to book a hunt, visit ClearwaterCountyOutfitters.com. That's ClearwaterCountyOutfitters.com. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience in a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Josh Miller is our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's with BritishLabradors.com, Riverstone Kennels, also a products training specialist at Sport Dog. And it's more than you ever wanted to know about the white-tailed deer. It's brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters. Guided duck hunts going on now in western Minnesota near Lac Parle, and heated pit hunts late season around the refuge. MidMigrationOutfitters.com. Josh, bucks regrow their antlers each year, of course, but what at every 10,000 does grow antlers as well, according to Wikipedia. This is associated mostly with what?
Well, I think I'm going to go with B, free Martinism.
B, free Martinism is correct. That is right. And that supposedly, I was trying to figure out exactly what that is. It happens more in, I think, in cattle, but it's associated when there's twins born or twins developing in the womb, and then the male twin passes some of the chromosomes over to the female, and then the female is born with some male stuff going on and they grow some antlers. And that's what free Martinism is. That is correct. Josh Miller, Sporting Journal Radio. You're in Tennessee right now. You're at Sport Dog headquarters, right? They're down in Tennessee?
Correct. Yeah, right here in Knoxville.
And what are you guys doing down there?
We're shooting some product videos, YouTube content that people can go and get free information on, what the products are, how to introduce them, how to use them properly, all that kind of good stuff.
What was new from Sport Dog this year? Is there anything else coming out that you can talk about, kind of tell us about?
Well, what's new this year from Sport Dog is the new X Series. And what the X Series is it actually gives you as the user more levels of simulation to kind of fine tune that training. And we all know that the technology in these products have come so far. I kind of make the comment, I joke once in a while in my seminars that the old units, and I still have one at home. I never used one. This was kind of before my time, but I have it as a souvenir. It was the transmitter itself was probably it probably looked like you're holding a 2x4 because it was so big. It had one button, and I swear you could weld with it when you hit that button. I mean, it was just so different than what it is here today. And then, we're seeing softer and softer dogs. Our dogs in particular, the British dogs tend to be a little softer in mentality. I think that makes them a fantastic fit for a family member. And I still want to have that top end motor, but at the same time, it's even more crucial that I communicate with them as effectively as possible. And so more levels of simulation just mean a wider spectrum that I can make sure that I can fine tune for each individual dog to get the most out of them.
How much do you enjoy working with those collars and getting to kind of help, develop some of those products for Sport Dog?
Well, it's actually a big passion of mine. And I think one of the big reasons is that I think when you talk about e-collars and the technology that has come along, I think that they are probably the best tool that you could use to communicate to your dog as efficiently as possible, and then as a safety feature. You know, the reality is that I don't care how good your dog is or how much training your dog has been put into. I mean, I have dogs that are, you know, master hunter, grand retriever champions that are fantastic dogs, but at the end of the day, you know, they're still a dog, and just like a person, they're going to have an off day. They're going to get distracted, and something as simple as, you know, that dog that is so under control that, you know, a hen pheasant gets up in the field, and that day that dog decides, you know what, I'm going to catch this thing and runs towards a road. If you don't have something like this on your dog, I mean, that could turn into a horror story very quickly. And so, but for me, having the correct products that can do the right things, and then more importantly, introducing them properly and using them properly, that's the difference between a great experience and a poor experience when you use something like this.
I've had people that aren't in the hunting world or dog handling world, when they see an e-collar on my dog, they're like, oh, that's so cruel, I can't believe you do that. And I tell them, honestly, this collar has saved that dog's life on more than one occasion.
Well, Brett, you know, let's kind of touch on this a little bit, because this is kind of one of my hot button topics specifically of late, because it seems like there are more and more anti e-collar people out there, and I've hunted with a number of them, and what I've found is that when you don't have that collar on, what ends up happening is that when you need to make a correction, so let's just say you send the dog out, blows off a whistle, not listening, to the whistles. Now you're trying to call the dog in. They're running around like crazy because they're convinced that there's a bird in that area. What ends up happening is people get upset. They get angry. By the time they finally get out to that dog, they normally do things that they wouldn't do, just because that frustration boils over and, bad things happen, right? Let's if you had a collar on the dog, you can make the correction when necessary. You communicate efficiently and on time with the dog. The dog then understands what it is that you're asking. And then you can carry on and have a positive experience versus, when I go back to what I just talked about, when you get frustrated, when you have to physically go out and get the dog, okay, not only are your emotions at a place that you don't want them to be, but then on the flip side of it, that dog has no idea why you're out there and why you're upset, because mentally he's gone past it and he's thinking about something completely different, right? And so it really comes down to communication, because when you kind of look at the way that a dog communicates, right, it's our job as a handler, as a trainer, to communicate as efficiently as possible. They don't speak English, right? And so little things through training that can transfer into the field, such as a collar and the way that you use a collar, that can be the clarity sometimes that's needed to make this a successful transition now in a controlled situation, from a controlled situation in training into the field and into the live hunt, where, just to be frank, it's uncontrolled.
And when you're hunting with a bunch of people or maybe some new people and emotions take over, and then or if a dog, kind of gets out of control and screws something up, then other people can get frustrated. And it's very important to have your dog under control. And that's just one of those tools that makes it so easy. Josh Miller, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking sport dog there. He's a product training specialist. Now, when you talk about that situation, you're in the field, say you're hunting with maybe a new group of people, or, like you probably, like myself, have been on various maybe media type hunts where you're hunting with a huge group of people that haven't hunted together, maybe other handlers or other media guys or whoever, and your dog does something you don't want it to, and you're forced to have to deal with it. You've been training all year. Run through some of those scenarios for us and how to handle them.
Yeah, so I think, first, the way that I kind of look at mid-season corrections, now you're talking more in the field correction, but let's kind of look at a mid-season correction, because I think this is something that everyone is going to deal with. I kind of look, I'm a sports guy, and so I kind of use the sports analogies. I kind of look at when you get into the season, inevitably there are going to be screws that come loose with your training. That's just the reality. Again, you're going from a controlled training setup to uncontrolled hunting environment. And so naturally, whether it's the environment, whether it's, it's live birds working, which you just simply can't replicate a group of, 30 mallards spinning and spinning and spinning on top of the decoys. you know, there's so many things that could, you know, come up that, you know, kind of that midseason correction to me is like, you know, you're the coach, right? And you're coaching a football team, and the first half, you know, the opponent threw stuff at you that you just were not prepared for, and you saw some screws come loose from your team. Well, this is the same thing. You go into halftime, you as a good coach make the corrections needed, and then go forward and have a strong second half. And, you know, for me, the benefit that we have being that we're talking about, you know, dogs in the hunting field is that we have more, you know, we have much more time than a 20-minute halftime to make these corrections. And so we need to make sure that we go ahead and take that time, whether it's breaking, you know, on the shot or before the dog's released, whether it's, you know, marking. I mean, there could be a number of things, and not honoring, right? There are a lot of things that go on in the field that, you know, the time to correct it more times than not is not on the hunt itself. It's your job, again, putting yourself in the coach kind of position. It's your job to keep your cool, be composed, mentally note it, and then go back onto the quote unquote practice field or your training scenarios, and then get over it there. And then what I like to do is, let's just use breaking it as an example. You have a dog that wants a break, which I mean by breaking is, you're leaving before you send the dog, which can obviously put them in a dangerous situation if the guns are still going off. What I like to do there is I'll bring the dog back into the training situation, and I'll make the dog go sit, and I'll throw bumpers and go pick them up, right? Don't let the dog go retrieve it. Don't let them think every retrieve is theirs. I'm in a unique situation where I have a lot of tools, you know, at my disposal at the kennel, but I'll take pigeons and let pigeons go pigeon after pigeon after pigeon, make the dog sit there and watch them fly. I'll make the dog sit there and honor another dog working. And then when I go into the field, this is key. If I'm dealing with this issue and this is what I'm trying to fix, I don't do all that training and then go right into the field and just start hunting again. You know, for that first hunt or two, I won't even carry a gun. I will focus on the dog to make sure, again, we're going to an uncontrolled situation now. I'm going to make sure that this training is going to transfer back into the field, which is usually the part that people kind of skip over, and that's where the issues come up. And so those midseason corrections are really important. And so, you know, taking the time to go back to the training field, sharpen all that stuff up, and then apply it back in the hunting field. It's really important to make sure you take that time.
Josh Miller, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. We've talked a lot about dogs screwing up, but I'll tell you what, when they do it right, it's absolutely my, even when they don't always do it right, having a dog in the field is still my favorite part about it. And I've had the chance to hunt with an older 11-year-old lab on opener this year. I hunted with my own dog who's getting up there in age, and then I got to hunt with one that was just a pup, less than a year old, and figuring things out for the first time. And it's just, to me, maybe I'm just at that point in my life where it's fun to watch those young dogs figure it out, or watch those old dogs go back out there and get the job done like they were a young pup again. And dog work is part of my favorite, of course. So I appreciate the talk today. It's always fun. Enjoy your time down in Tennessee, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Appreciate it, Brett. Good talking to you, and have a good rest of your season.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.